All right, so before we start this morning's deep dive into Don't Suffer, Communicate, we had a few people from last night who had an insight they wanted to share. I think I saw Karen, and maybe Deepa, and Jodine. Jodine.
So the exercise about the, what is the conditioning that, you know, came up in the communication. So my thing was where I didn't communicate, but I wanted to, or I had something to say, but I didn't.
So the conditioning, you're looking at the question of the conditioning, and the situation is where you wanted to say something, but you didn't.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And it was actually on the way to the retreat.
On the way to the retreat. Uh-huh.
But I'm really familiar with the conditioning because it's a person who... the conditioning is, don't say, no, but check and see what kind of mood the person's in before you say something that might displease them.
Uh-huh. So check and see what the mood of the person is before you say something that might displease them. How many people can relate?
Yeah.
The scanning, right?
Yeah, right. It's this, and like the, you know, I mean, in the teaching, it was about, you know, the an appropriate time or something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But and here's one of the things that I would start to encourage people to do, right? We see what the behavior is, and then we want to look at what the conditioning is. And the conditioning, if I'm projecting what you're saying, is the belief that what you do actually affects another person's experience. Mm-hmm. We don't know that. Right? But that's what we're conditioned to believe, that I can say something that can affect another person's experience.
Mm-hmm. And maybe even, like, I'm kind of responsible.
That's right.
For knowing what's going to happen.
That's right. Exactly. It's the egocentricity of it,
yeah.
Right? That I can affect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not to say that we don't have a lot of intelligence dropping in that tells us this person is really red-faced in front of me. I don't really want to say something that, right, that I want to say, which is a very different place than... just being present to that, right?
Yes, it is.
Right, that yeah. Whether it's being controlled by that unconscious belief or it's actually insightful.
Yeah. It's useful insight.
Yes, it's, yeah. Yes. I intelligence registering, this person's upset. So to tell them off about something or give them feedback might not be, that's the right time.
Yeah. But what I saw about the person who, in that moment, so there could be a lot of different people, I guess, there. But for me, as the karma over and over, is a person who is really young and has a parent who's moody and irritable and needs to be, like, gauged.
Right. So, right, and
but,
that...
But I get very young in that situation.
Yes, so we feel emotionally... We revert to an orientation that we had that's very young, that basically... where our survival was at stake, right? So if the person that I'm interacting with, who I depend upon for everything, is going to come at me, I really need to... be intelligent enough to make my request or my ask at a time when, and that just gets carried over.
Yeah, and it feels very, even though the adult is not in a situation where survival is at all an issue, it feels survival.
Absolutely. Yeah. It feels unsafe.
Yeah.
And that's why we call it the karma, right? Because that's the orientation that we're seeing through. And so it's not available. The adult orientation is not available in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We revert back to that.
And I'm like, I have blinders on to like what's really happening.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Karen. Where's Karen? Did you still have your...
Yeah, I'm not sure what the insight was.
Okay.
I've kind of moved on, I think.
All right.
Yeah.
Nancy.
You. I have a situation where I have an estranged son.
You have an estranged son.
Yes. And we communicate. And
we communicate?
Communicate.
Yeah.
And, at the beginning of this estrangement, I was afraid to say anything hardly at all.
Can people hear? Do you want me to reflect? Yeah, you were...
I really weighed, should I say that? Shouldn't I say that? Like, how is he going to interpret that?
Uh-huh.
That kind of thing. And just during this last email class, situation happened with him. And we communicated. And this time I was able to talk to him and let him know my concerns. And what I realized is I had to let go of the outcome.
Uh-huh.
Because it didn't matter what I really said to him. I could tell him what I was doing during the week or during the month, and he would still probably interpret that through his lens,
yeah,
as a manipulation of some
kind. Uh-huh. Yeah, so just to catch people up, estranged son, very cautious about how you interact with them and very wary about what you say. And there was a situation recently where you did communicate because you expressed your concerns.
Right.
And what you realized in that communication is that letting go of the outcome was key for you not to suffer. Right? Because the insight is that whatever's going on for him, that's how he's going to interpret anything you say.
Right. And what I saw was when I let go of the outcome, I was able to really hear what he had to say.
Yeah.
And suddenly it was like, well, what I would have maybe a while ago interpreted as, oh my gosh, he's just being stubborn and blah, blah, blah. But I really could see where he was coming from. Mm-hmm. So it was like, seeing that process of where for me, which was afraid that I was going to get anger back at me, so there was a fear there, and there was also this idea of he's never going to talk to me again,
right?
You know,
which is also fear, right?
Which is another fear.
So the conditioning is, I'm just reflecting, Nancy, to catch everyone up, that what you saw was the conditioning of fear,
right,
that if I say something that's disagreeable or unendearing but beneficial, what I'm going to get back is something I can't stand.
Yes.
And therefore I can't say it, right? That's how the controlling happens. And what you saw is, if you could say it and let go the outcome, and recognize that all of us are in our conditioned universes communicating with each other,
right,
within quotes, then if you don't take it personally, it's possible to say what you have to say and let go whatever the conditioning is that's coming at you from him.
Right.
Yeah. Good to see. Good to see. Yeah. Thank you. It takes a lot of practice to stay present and not get triggered in those situations. Before we go in, right? And afterwards.
Just as I was looking at it last night, I had to wait. You know, I heard this news a while, like a week before, and thank goodness...
Proper time!
Email class, I thought, you know, I just need to wait. Nothing's urgent. I mean, I wanted to just pick up that phone and, you know...
Exactly! Yes, it's what we were talking about with Anne last night, that the groove is just so well-worn.
Right.
Trigger, ego jumps in, right? The conditioning jumps in.
Right.
And to just stay with it and do something else, not what we've done before.
And with that, I saw that I was, I felt unheard. I felt, you know, the conditioning was really rampant as far as my karma, you know, of wanting to be right, wanting to be in control, wanting, you know, all of this stuff came up all at once. So I could really see that.
Yeah. Yeah. grace when we can,
yeah,
and don't act from it. All right.
Deepa, did you have this?
Yeah. Just a quick, I did the exercise from last night, and when I did that, the example that I chose and the attributes that I assigned to that example from the matrix, the Holy Buddha wouldn't have said anything.
So, can you hear? So, in the example that you chose and the matrix that you did, the Buddha wouldn't have said anything, but you did.
I did. And I noticed, so when I went, so the evening exercise yesterday when we were here, the two follow-up questions were, what is the conditioning and what's the I?
What's the conditioning and what's the I?
I couldn't see the conditioning.
Would you be willing to give your example?
Or
hang on, I think the next exercise that's coming up might help.
Okay. When I went back in RI, because you encouraged us to look at the...
So just to catch everyone up, she wasn't able to see the conditioning or the eye.
Oh, you saw the eye.
Recorded and listened, and...
Still no insight about what the conditioning is.
Still no insight about the conditioning.
And that kind of, I noticed that it was freaking me out. Last night I gushed to have a chance because I thought, I can't figure it out, the guide will tell me. So this panic you've done the year-long retreat, you've done these exercises for 10 months, and you still can't see the conditioning. Come on, come up with it. So the anxiety of trying to get to, why did I say it? I know the identity. It was the wrong
Hang
one.
Hang on. So, again, a deep level of anxiety and a lot of conversation about buck up, you've done the year-long retreat and you should know the answer by now. Why are you unable to figure the conditioning out? And the gassho was, well, I can't figure it out, so can you help me? Yeah.
So when I went back in Ireland last night, still nothing. This morning, something dropped in on me, but I'm not sure. I don't know if I just made something up. And so
So something dropped in during the sit.
Yes.
Don't know if you made it up.
I don't know if it was the true or... Because now I'm so blinded.
You're so blinded.
And so all the more humility that I am in the thick of a karmic process.
Yes.
And I can't see anything.
Yes. Well, you're in the thick of a karmic process and you can't see anything. And here's the beautiful part about that, is that you're watching it. And this is something that we looked at in the Family Karma Retreat, I think, last year. It's what you're in right now is the process you get to see. Right? Because there is conditioning here that's operating right now. As you said, there's a karmic storm that's happening in the moment, which is the clue that you're looking for. And so whatever is going on for me, I just watch it. Because part of what we condition to believe is we're going to figure it out. And sometimes we just wait. And hopefully something will drop in. All right. So if everybody would close their eyes, please. I'm going to read you a little excerpt from Don't Suffer, Communicate. Whether we believe it or not, something usually is controlling what we say and don't say. We call what's interfering with our communication egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, ego for short. We're usually not paying very close attention, and we're not aware of ego taking over our attempts to communicate. It acts like a giant scrambler, distorting the signal, interpreting the information we receive, and scrambling what we transmit in response. So if you would take a couple of nice, long, deep breaths, feeling the breath enter the body, fill the body and leave the body. And as you attend to the breath, allow the awareness to expand to include the body. Noticing any sensations in the body, thoughts in the mind that are attempting to pull at the attention. And now, letting that go, allow to arise for your consideration an interaction which you would label challenging. An interaction you would label challenging, where the communication feels difficult, stressful, fraught. This could be at work, at a social gathering, at home. Really picture the situation. Take in your surroundings, who you're with, the subject of the conversation, really tune into the interaction. Notice your posture, your gestures. Your energy. Your demeanor. What you say. How you say it. And now take a moment to see yourself in conversation with this other person. See the person that is in conversation with the other person. How would you describe the you in this interaction? How would you describe the you in this interaction? What would you say is your world view? Can you find a word or phrase to describe your style of communication? And as you continue to watch this interaction, notice what you are projecting on the person you're in communication with. What are you projecting on the person you are in communication with? And when you get a sense of that, if you would open your eyes, please, and make some notes in this way. So a description of ego I in the conversation. So who you saw in the interaction. Second, a description of the person you're projecting, you're communicating with. Based on your projection, who do you think you're communicating with? Describe the a description of the person, the ego I, in that interaction. Right? Who you were, who you saw yourself to be, the description, your worldview, your communication style. And then the description of the person you're communicating with. Label the first one ego I and the second one ego you. And if you want to draw it out, you're welcome to put two people and then describe them. So it's, let's say you were talking to your boss. Right? So you saw that talk, that conversation with your boss, and you saw who you were. Maybe you were upset or anxious or defiant or defensive, right? That's one part of the conversation. And then you're projecting something onto your boss, right? What did you see about what you were projecting onto your boss? What was the description? Yeah, he's angry and upset with me, wants to fire me. For those who have finished, see if you can find how this ego scrambler is working in that interaction. How is the ego scrambler working in that interaction? If you think about the ego as something that's distorting a signal or reinterpreting a interpreting a response, can you see how that's working in that situation?
The scrambler is interpreting what I'm hearing.
Possibly, yes. Or what you are distorting what you're
but
saying.
It's just wherever it can get its root.
Yes, exactly. How are people doing? Another minute or so? All right, if you would... Oh, another minute, Jen? All right.
A lot to see.
A lot to see, yes. All right, if you finish up that last sentence and close your eyes again. Take another couple of nice long deep breaths. And allow to arise in conscious, compassionate awareness an example of a situation in which you feel comfortable interacting with someone. Again, this could be with a coworker, someone in your family, a friend. Picture the interaction. Where you are. The subject of the conversation. Really tune into that situation. Notice your posture, your gestures, your energy, your demeanor, what you say, how you say it. Picture the interaction. Step back and take a moment to see yourself in conversation with this other person. How would you describe the you in this interaction? Say is your orientation or worldview. Can you find a word or phrase to describe your communication style? And as you continue to watch this interaction, notice what you're projecting on the person you're in communication with. What are you projecting on the person you're in communication with? And when you get a sense of that, would you open your eyes, please, and jot down what you saw in the same way? Description of I in the conversation, a description of the person you're in conversation with, what you're projecting on them. Scrambler. How the scrambler might be operating. Maybe another minute. All right. If you would wind down that last sentence and find someone you do not know and have not spoken with yet. Decide who's going to go first and who's going to go second. Everyone knows how this goes. So, person when the bell rings, person one will tell their partner what they saw, and then partner just listens. And then, when the bell rings again, you switch roles. You're welcome to record your side of the diet. Okay. Person number one, begin, please.
Thank you. also just the same way that our behavior continues to follow the same power, the same God. So we're seeking nurturing of God.
Lesson number two.
Thank you.
department return to your places? What did you see? Jen?
It was a phenomenal exercise.
Yeah. Okay.
As I was saying to my partner, there were so many layers of it that were interesting. The thing itself, and then the process of the seeing in it, in the sense that having the second set of questions completely revealed the first set of questions, the first scenario. Like, it popped it all out into relief.
Uh-huh. So it's the process of seeing. In that, the second set, you mean the non-challenging interaction,
exactly,
as opposed to the challenging interaction, really made you see something.
Yeah, that I saw so much in the challenging part, and then in the not-challenging part, it just revealed so much more about what was going on both sides.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I think the biggest thing I saw was on the level of the scrambler.
Yeah.
That's what really felt like it got popped out in the second one, which was that the interaction on both sides was with the same person. That's just how it arose.
Yes.
Which was so helpful.
Yes.
And the thing that I saw was that what it feels like the ego scrambler is doing is I got this image of, so it just puts this thing out in the middle of the room. And that thing determines how I'm allowed to be. Mm-hmm. And that thing being sort of the mood, if you will, and which gets projected onto the other person. Mm-hmm. But I saw clearly that that's what the scrambler is doing. Like, okay, in this situation, you need to be defended, and you need to be closed down, and you need to be, because that's how we're being right now.
Yeah.
That's how we all move.
Uh-huh. So several things, right, Jen? So first of all, it's really helpful if we pick a situation in which the person you're interacting with is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Because then, you know, so much is said in that the same person, you can have an interaction that's challenging and an interaction, so then who's really in the interaction is the question that gets revealed. And that for you, you were really clear that the scrambler operates by setting the box in which you play.
Exactly.
Right? That's how it's controlling the situation. Exactly. So if that is something I'm believing in, then the way it's going to go is the way it's going to go.
Right.
And so the scrambler creates the you in the interaction, mm-hmm, and it creates the other person in the interaction. Mm-hmm. Because who they are is absolutely not something we're present to, because the whole projection has happened or is happening in the interaction.
And that the communication from the ego I is put forth through that veil.
Yeah.
So,
and can you give us an example?
Yeah, well, so the ego I feels shut down.
Uh-huh.
And so is going to communicate quickly, meaning like, I got to quickly say what I was going to say because this is an unsafe,
I need to exit.
Everything is in quotes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, let's just drop it, right? Let's talk about I, because we are identified.
Yes, exactly.
Trying to parse the ego out in this would be very hard. So let's just say I feel shut down.
Yeah.
And I really just need to communicate whatever it is I need to communicate because this is unsafe. I have to communicate. And therefore I'm going to communicate. But the way I communicate is so that I feel like I can exit.
Yeah. Or okay, gotta say it, but gotta say it fast. And it's already defended.
Yes.
Right?
Because that was what the scrambler did to you before you got in.
Exactly.
This is an unsafe situation. You have to be defended, so you're going to be shut down.
Yeah.
And that control is expressed through how you behave in that interaction, what you communicate and how you communicate.
That's right. And then the fact that the, quote, other person that I'm interacting with doesn't just respond with open arms and complete understanding.
Yeah.
It's an indication that, see?
That's right. So I think what you're saying and what we're all, hopefully the exercise is starting to articulate for us is that the situation, it's a setup.
Yeah.
Right? We all just enter stage and take roles. And so I'm going to be feeling shut down and defended. And no matter what the other person says or does, I'm going to experience them as not how I want to, because no matter what they're doing, I think what you're saying is the response is interpreted in a way that maintains my reason to be defended. And how, you know, we don't know what's going on with them. But regardless what's going on with them, there's a way in which the conclusion may be foregone. Because there's an expectation of a response that may or may not happen. So the expectation either gets met or does not get met. Odds are it doesn't. And it maintains the whole situation. We'll come around.
Oh, okay. So I was having, I was with this person that I know, well, and tends to, one of her ways of communicating is attacking.
Okay. So you are with a person you know well, who's one of whose ways of communication is to attack.
Yes. So I was there with her, and I noticed that we were sitting there, and it was very quiet. So I was...
You were sitting, and it was very quiet.
Yeah, we were in this room together. And so I knew there was going to... I mean, so that was my stance. I knew an attack was coming.
You knew an attack was coming, yes!
Because it had been brewing during...
It was brewing, yes.
So... I'm sitting there and seeing if I could make a little conversation, but wary, and sure enough...
So you're trying to make conversation, but very wary, yeah.
And that it came.
It came!
Yes. And but the interesting thing about this whole thing is that she was saying things about me that I... see exactly about her.
She was saying things about you that you see about her.
That's right. Only I am innocent.
Except you're innocent.
She's not.
She's not.
But the interesting thing was that, yeah, when I was writing this, I could see we're both projecting the same exact thing onto each other.
Yes.
With coming from a completely opposite side of whatever situation is.
Did everyone hear that? Shall I reflect? That we are in a situation where you're innocent, but you recognize as you were writing it that you were both projecting the same thing from completely opposite places.
Yeah, and the reason I know that is because she was saying it. You know? So I'm projecting onto her what she's saying, and I'm just like, wow, I mean, she's just describing herself perfectly.
She's describing herself.
But I did stop to think, huh, yeah. I mean, in a way, she's right. I should have, you know, just reflected or something, but I was defensive.
You should have reflected, but you were defensive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I saw. I mean,
that's
it didn't happen. And even though I was also, but I was being kind. And, you know...
Being kind,
Of trying to, you know, get the lower the thing.
And lower the temperature of the interaction, yeah.
But, and it didn't really work, so...
And it did work.
No. But to me, that was the whole... And I think besides the feeling unsafe and knowing it was going to happen as the... It was like... But... I'm right. I mean,
yes,
know.
Knowing
and
that
she's wrong.
I'm right, and she's wrong.
Right, which of course she thinks she's right, and I'm wrong.
She thinks she's right.
Yeah, and so it was just very interesting. And the grace that dropped in though towards the end, which I mean, it wouldn't have ended; it had gone on. Is that I said I thought first, and that's when the peace came. the very first time when she started, I said, was thinking, and I even said it to her, I'm out of here.
Uh-huh.
And but I sat down.
As soon as she started to talk, you said, I'm out of here.
Or what she, it was when she started to attack.
When she started to attack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but instead, I stayed there and thought maybe we could, you know, work this out. But it wasn't going anywhere. So it dropped into me that I don't have to be here. I could go home.
Uh-huh. It dropped in for you, you don't have to be here, you can go home.
And there was such peace.
Was
I wasn't angry, which I had been. I wasn't hurt, which I had been. And that's, I projected you on her, too. But I wasn't angry. I wasn't hurt. I just said, oh, I think I'm going to go home. And she said, well, why? Oh, because I was going to spend the night.
Uh-huh. She asked why?
Well, she said, yeah. Oh, I thought you didn't want to drive in the dark.
I thought you didn't want to drive in the dark.
And I was thinking, I'd rather drive in the dark and risk my life.
I'd rather drive here in the dark than risk my life being attacked by you.
I did not say that, though. I
did not say it. Practicing that compassionate speech, right?
Yeah, and it happened to be Christmas Eve, and I just said, I want to go home and have like a spiritual Christmas. I didn't say nice, good, because that would have been more.
You said it in a beneficial way, but it was not factual.
I could go to church, I could do, you know,
yes,
meditate, I could, and that's kind of what I did. I just was there once I got home. But but this was really helpful. And again, with a good conversation with somebody else, I could see none of that was there. I felt safe, and, you know, and I think if I had been able to post some of that on this conversation, it might have diffused it, but
well,
see,
it's not available
no
to us,
that,
right,
that,
Phil? That's what we want to see. There isn't something, I mean, this is what Cherry was talking about last night. The karma is not good or bad. It's just an orientation. And all we're doing is getting some insight into how we are operated.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because you laid it out really clearly. Here we are sitting, and this dance has gone on for
ever,
right?
Mm-hmm.
You can feel the tension brewing, and there's that, probably not aware of it. Okay, it's going to come. She's just going to, it's been brewing, it's going to come. It's going to come. Let me make some conversations so I can diffuse the situation. But it's going to come. So here you are, already and primed,
mm-hmm,
and she does whatever she does, and you feel attacked.
Mm-hmm.
That's what gets triggered. Mm-hmm. And then you watch that the projection of whatever it is that is going on here gets projected out. It may be true, she may be right, she may be wrong, who knows? But we can watch how it's a total... Phil says, no, she is wrong. But it seems so real,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Because the grace, as you said, is in that moment, the choice is, I don't have to do this.
Uh-huh.
I don't have to stick around taking the conditioning, and we often say that you're giving to me.
Uh-huh.
But I don't have to sit around taking the conditioning that's going on here, which requires me to stay here,
uh-huh,
and be operated by it,
uh-huh,
in this interaction.
Yeah. Yeah, and so what I saw is that's completely available to me, and I know that, and I have done it because, like, on a phone call, I'll just...
Yeah.
Okay. And finally, when it's dying down, I'll put it back. But and say, oh, it's time to go. But seeing it this way seems to me that it's more available, because I did see how... And even there, I was beginning to, because I saw her saying the same thing I was saying, or feeling and saying, about her. And I had this sense that, yeah, there must, I started feeling some compassion, I think, instead of the being feeling like, you know, she's doing this to me. That there's just something that, you know, there is a way I can interact differently.
Yeah, well, that So I just to reflect that as you were watching this happen, you felt a sense of compassion in that interaction, because compassion towards her. You, yeah?
Yeah.
And so here's the thing that to take away from, one of the things to take away is we don't have to fix it on a content level.
Yeah, right.
Because
right.
as we were saying yesterday, yeah. this dynamic has been operating for a really long time. It's almost like someone presses a switch and the program comes into being. Mm-hmm. This is who she is, this is who you are. Mm-hmm. And somehow or the other, even if we see that, mm-hmm. there's a way in which our karma is, it has to be different. That somehow or the other, I will be a better person, or I will say something different in order for the interaction to go differently. And the encouragement that we're going to be giving throughout this retreat is, what's going on for me that I feel like I need to stay in the interaction? Mm-hmm. Or I need to participate, or be this way, or why do I need to be right? Or why do I feel attacked? Mm-hmm. That's mine to resolve.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Right? So yeah. the second step to seeing laid out like this, the projection here that's coming out here and the projection there and all of that, is just simply to see that the whole thing is karmic. And so if I describe the person here as feeling attacked, then how do I work with that in me?
Right. Yeah, that's just so great. I mean,
because the compassion is for you.
Yes, and it was there too, especially when I said, "I'm going home."
Yes, know? I'm going home. Exactly.
Yeah. And and it's just great the way you just mm-hmm. laid it all out, and that not fixing it, because
not
I have a tendency
it.
To want to make it better, money
yeah.
make
that we
better,
want to maintain our position,
yeah.
right? I want to convince you you're right, I'm right, and you want to convince me I'm right. It's never going to work.
Right. Yes, and I can't even go with it in the sense of, okay, I'm wrong, because...
That's not available.
Well, not only that, it's just not true,
yeah.
but neither is she wrong. It's just that there's nothing wrong. And to get to that place, which I think I finally did... It's like, bye, and we were fine. So, bye, love you. It's true.
Yes.
It's still true.
Yeah.
Mm. So, anyhow, yeah. it's marvelous. It's
good to see.
Yes, thank you.
Goli.
So, I am going to be a little bit specific about my...
Yes, answer. That's very helpful. Specific is good.
Okay. So I thought about a specific example of a conversation that I've had many, many, many times with many different people. So the people are students who are asking about their grades. Let's say disputing their grades. And it never goes well.
See the setup right from the start,
yes.
right?
Yes. And so, I mean, I saw a lot which was fantastic about who I saw, but on an aside, which I would love your feedback on, I feel like there is a societal karma that is set up there for us, because it's inherently, in a way, a combative situation, because I have to evaluate them, so I have to judge them, and I don't like to be judged. Nobody likes to be judged. And I'm also told the institution I work in, one of the ways we pride ourselves is that we are rigorous graders. So we have strict guidelines. So I'm dealing with that. And then, of course, the person who's challenging wants a higher grade. The other thing I saw as I'm listening is that I am a people pleaser, and so that's a horrible conversation for me, because there's nothing I can do.
It's interesting that a people pleaser would be put in an institution that is judgmental and has to assess and be in that kind of interaction
yes.
with the people that you're interacting with all the time. Very interesting.
Very interesting.
Recipe for suffering.
Yes. Yes. Thank you.
And therefore for awakening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And so the person I saw who's in that conversation that, you know, perhaps what Ian can do, is immediately she feels defensive and under attack, and her judgment, you know, that he's disputing is not good enough, and I try to give them as many, you know, steps up as I can. But bottom line, the whole thing came to I'm not good enough, which equals I'm not enough.
Yeah.
Which is a huge part of the karma for me.
Right.
Not being enough.
Yes. And just to illustrate for everybody, that's how the scrambler's working on you, right? There's a constant conversation in your head that says you're not enough, you're not good enough, you should be second guess what you did. And so that's who you end up being in the situation, because that's how you're being operated, right? It's the whole thing. I'm in a societal place which prides itself. This is societal conditioning. It's a combative situation. I am required to be this way. I don't want to be this way, but I have to be this way. I'm doing my best, but you're not, right? That's exactly what's going on. And so who shows up in that conversation is the person who is being manipulated by that conversation, feeling attacked because she is being attacked.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. That's what we want to see. It's not that the program is creating the person who shows up in the interaction.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Because it's all true. Now, you could just say, I don't care. I'm going to give whatever grade I want to give, regardless of what I'm conditioned to do, and this will scream bloody murder. But that, when we put ourselves in that situation, and when we get attacked by this, we behave that way.
Yes, I mean, I absolutely see that. But, you know, so we have to give them grace, and they have to do evaluations on us.
That's right. It's, talk about suffering.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're a people pleaser. It's an awful place to be. And it's set up, it's such a lovely ego fest, right? You have to say they're wrong, they have to say you're wrong, and you both live in fear of that.
Mm-hmm.
For what outcome except pure unhappiness?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's beautiful.
It's perfect.
And to make it even more beautiful is now we have the internet. So there are
you can post.
That go,
yeah.
And the whole world, my sister in New Zealand, I was reading, you know, what they wrote on XXX site, you know, about you. So, fabulous. Beautiful, beautiful world.
Yes, which is why, you know, Goli, I think that the thing is, we think we can change the circumstances in order to have a different experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that really never, I mean, it's not, as you said, it's not constructed to have any outcome other than the outcome that you're experiencing, right? Which is a complete programming, institutionally, socially, personally, right? And that's why at some level you could look at it from the perspective of, we don't need to take it personally. That's the only choice we have.
Mm-hmm.
But that requires us to recognize what's going on for me and find a way to assist that person in that situation, not to believe that, not that it becomes her reality. Because the opportunity that's available is to see the whole thing as a play. It's all foregone. It's going to go that way. The script's been written. I'm just participating. But can I participate with not taking it seriously? Right? Because I believe the reality of it. Because I don't see the absurdity of it. And until I do, I can't play the role that way. Right? And we'll be looking at some tools that allow us to get that distance, because it's, if the program's operating me, I'm the actor, but don't know that I'm acting. It's not a role I'm playing, it's who I am. And I don't have a choice. In that scenario, the script can't be any different. But this first exercise is simply to know we're in a script that we believe is real.
Because again, I've had this conversation with so many different people. The same pretty much conversation.
And so we have to work on it at so many levels, right? Do I care if someone says something bad about me if I had my best intention, if I was doing my best? But do I really believe I'm doing my best? That's the first place to, if we're maintaining the not enough karma, it doesn't matter how good you're doing. Every piece of evidence, as Jen would say, was saying, is pointed at reinforcing not enough. But if you were completely okay with I did my best, and then you know what? No office during grade dispute time. No office hours during grade dispute time. That's an option. But it's not an option within the script. So we're only allowed to see the box as it's presented to us, and so there's no exit. All right, one more, and Janet.
So this has been really helpful for me to listen to everyone.
Can everyone hear her? Yeah.
But what it's a theme of very similar to everyone else, but it's like this theme of lack, which I guess you could say something wrong. So in the first scenario, it's like I realized that it's looking to the other person to give me what I am told I lack.
Uh-huh.
And if they give that to me, then things will be okay. So it has to turn out exactly the way it's telling me it needs to turn out,
right,
so that I can be okay.
Yes. Yes. So the person in the conversation is somebody who lacks something and who is longing for that lack to be addressed by it being given to her. Mm-hmm. And so this is what, I think it's in Transcending Resistance, right? What we don't see an identity is composed of is what it lacks and that it'll never receive it. We only believe that the identity is something I lack. But the part of in order to maintain I lack something, is no matter what is given to me, it won't meet the standard, right? So the identity going in is, I lack something and nothing in the universe can actually fulfill that lack, which implies that no matter what comes back, it's going to be received as, oh yeah, they said that thing, but, right? We don't actually see that the way we go into something, I goes into something, is going to maintain the I. And that's why you have to project that the other person's never going to give you what you want.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't even think about that. Yeah.
Because the other situation, where it was, I don't know what it was for you, but what was the comfortable communication?
Oh, it was where I wasn't looking for anything.
Exactly. Right? So then there's nothing lacking. So anyone can say anything, and there's no hole here that will never be filled.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. It was so clear. That I loved that, because it was just like, oh my God, that was crystal clear.
Right.
I see the difference.
Yeah. Well, and the interesting part about that is that just because we are in a situation that's comfortable does not mean the scrambler isn't working. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, what I saw in that was that the scrambler was getting ready for the next phase, which was, it was going to go into what I was lacking that the other person had. So here...
Wow.
I know. It was like,
yes.
Oh, there it is.
There it is.
No scrambler. But then all of a sudden it shifted to, hey, wait a minute, this person has something.
Wow, that's so good to see.
Need it.
Right? Yeah, because it could be that it could be that the identification is operating even in a situation that's comfortable, but what you saw was it wasn't, and then it came in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to convert that communication into maintaining the orientation of the person. Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody.